I think my sister hired in after I did, but my brother-in-law worked there.
Oh, okay.
And I had an aunt work there, and a cousin worked there. So it was, you know, kind of a family thing. The big draw was I was at Setwell. I was making $1 an hour, working my butt off and shipping. And at the hospital, I started at $1.75 an hour. I didn't know what I was going to do with all the extra money.
Yeah, and it's steady work. They didn't lay you off.
No, it was year round.
So there's different divisions, of course, the men's cottages, women's cottages, and then...
It was pretty much all separated, north and south. South half of Building 50 was men, and all the men's cottages from there on down. And the same way on the women's side. North side of Building 50 was women's halls, and then the women's cottages.
So where did you, which part did you start out in?
Actually, they started me out on Hall 6.
Oh, okay.
Which is a men's disturbed ward. Which is kind of a culture shock from Buckley High School to that. But I think I only worked there about 3 months.
What shocked you about working on Hall 6?
We had advanced stages of... syphilis, where it really deteriorated, and I'm not sure what you'd compare it to.
So they weren't, the patients weren't really coherent. You couldn't really converse with them.
But they
still had lots of needs and.
Yeah, and I'd say we took care of them the best we could. And then the rest of them were kind of troublemakers or sociopaths or whatever you want to call them. They didn't fit in with the rest of the hospital population, so they ended up on Hall 6. Right. But then some came from other wards to Hall 6 when they were... like in their manic phase or something, until their meds were adjusted and they got settled down, and then they would go back to whatever ward they were on.
Do you recall Dr. Ferguson?
Yeah.
And so he was on the ward occasionally and seeing patients? And
I think it was Hall 11 when he was a doctor there. And that was within the first 2-3 years that I worked there.
And what do you recall anything specific about him or his interactions with patients?
He kind of like the jolly old Saint Nick type. And I forget if it was you or someone else that told it. The patients loved him. They when he would come on the ward, they knew he was coming. They'd be meeting him at the door to. Ask him for favors and his attentions. I thought he was doing a really good job.
And the medications obviously helped a lot of people, a lot of the residents.
Yeah. I don't know if it was you or Ann, I tell them about, they did have a trial medicine program. And we would get medications from the pharmacy with just a number on prescribed for a certain patient. And we didn't know if that was an actual trial medication or if it was a bottle of placebos. But we administered the medicine, and then most of the patients were committed involuntarily. So if there was any permissions, I would guess they would come from the family to try the medicines.
Did you have family visiting the patients quite often? So they were interacting with the patients. Was there a special area where they interacted with the patients, or did they come right onto the ward?
Most wards had a visiting room.
Oh, okay.
Strictly for, you know, family and patients to visit. And occasionally, if they were stable enough, they would get, they could go off ward or off the hospital grounds with their family. Yeah, we used to call it ground parole.
Ground parole, okay.
Their parole card is a little paper card and signed by the doctor, and it's the hours that they could be off the unit.
Okay.
And
so there is security?
Yeah, if someone ran away, then you send out a state car with a driver and someone that knew the patient, crisscross the neighborhood there looking for them. And if that didn't work out, why, they usually end up, state police or somebody would pick them up. One of the things we had to do was physical management, you know. You started out on the bad foot because once in a while we had a voluntary admission, but most of them come through the court system. They were arrived at our doorstep with a couple of deputies and handcuffed and shackled and walked into admission office, and they weren't really happy about being there. So we, our welcoming party, depending on how they determined how upset they were, we would have 6 or 8 guys show up down there at admission office to escort them up to the ward, because the deputies would take all the handcuffs and stuff off of them. So here you are.
Were you wearing uniforms at that time?
Well, yeah, early, and then afterwards, no. But yeah, when I hired in, you use white pants and white shirt, and even a bow tie for. Most people didn't wear them on the wards, but for special occasions or picture taken over at nursing ed or something. And I don't think we got an allowance for that. I think we had to buy our own whites. J.C. Penney had a full selection of them.
Those were, so the people that were admitted saw the white uniforms and I guess their reactions would vary, but.
Yeah, they either knew it was somebody they could trust and go to, or they hated people that were keeping them there.
So you did have to physically manage people at times?
Yeah. Some were assaulting other people or staff, and then some were trying to hurt themselves. But yeah, we had, we called them seclusion rooms. They, usually a mattress, nothing they could hurt themselves with in there. They would spend some time in there until medicine took effect or they calmed down themselves.
Somebody was telling me about hydrotherapy. Is that something that took place?
Yeah, that was still going on receiving early 60s when I was there.
And now, what exactly is that? I guess I don't really understand.
Well, I was never got in on any of the sessions, but Bob Hall was the one that was doing hydrotherapy. We had these huge tubs, and I don't know if they were aerated or not, to fill them up with warm water. The patient would sit in there and lay back, and then the tops had a canvas cover snapped on, and they would lay in there and in the warm water, and then like I say, I was never in there. Bob said we heard that Bob would play music for him, relaxing music. And
what, was he one of the physicians, or?
No, I don't know. I think maybe Bob might have been an LPN.
Okay.
I don't know if he had special training in that, but he's the only one that did it that I know of. And they were still using electroshock therapy too. And that was, I'd see it really straightened some people out. They were delusional as hell, and after a couple of treatments, they were just back to Joe normal. Like, D area was, I'd say like 5, 6, 7 years old, and then up to teenagers.
Wow. And those were kids that were there residentially. They were there for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a great setup for the kids. They had a swimming pool. I even had to go through life-saving training to be able to take our kids down to the pool. So there was enough lifeguards to go around, because they had to have a lifeguard on duty. And they had a pool, gymnasium.
That was at the Arnell Angstrom building?
Outdoor playground. And then we had access to the buses over to transportation department. We could check out a bus and take them out to Lake Michigan.
Boy, that must have been hard for those kids, being away from home and away from their parents.
Yeah, most of them didn't seem to mind it that much. Just they were kept so busy. They had their own school there, so they went to school during the daytime. And then homework and recreation at night. We couldn't evaluate anyone and approve them for admission until they sent someone up from Community Mental Health to the admission office to interview the patient and say, okay, we can, or no, we can't. And some of them that came up there, I don't know what their educational stance was, but they looked pretty much like unwashed hippies. Yeah, I'd rather you didn't use that part, but... They got to say whether someone got to be admitted or not. And of course, unless it was really freaking extreme, they didn't want anyone admitted. They wanted them to be under their care in the community someplace. And he was like manic depressive, and he would go out and go off his meds, and they'd bring him back in. And the last time they brought him in, and he was there about 2 days, and he wasn't stabilized on his meds yet. And community mental health came in and said, well, he's got to go home with his family for Christmas. So he went home with his family, and they went down to the hardware store shopping, and he bought a shotgun supposedly for his dad for Christmas. And while they were settling up the cash register, he went out behind the hardware store and stuck that shotgun in his mouth, and that was the end of him. But they insisted he be home with his family. All the pines had been harvested. The white pine, it was just a field full of stumps when they built that place. And I forget his name now, but the guy in the head of the grounds department had a bunch of stones. They said with different codes on them for what kind of trees. And he would go out there in the lawn area, take these stones and just throw them up as high as he could. And then wherever they landed, that's where they would plant a tree. So it was nothing in line or anything. It was just all random. But the grounds were, well, still are pretty nice. Now is a good place to work. Not a lot of nice staff and a lot of nice patients.